Today on The Success Journal, one man's quest to clean up public restrooms helped him clean up financially. And if you think people like Mozart, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods did so well because of their talent, think again. They did something else, something you can do starting today.
Mozart, when you look closely at his story, it fits exactly with what the researchers say, that you get great through a particular kind of activity.
Then, a great tool for self-improvement is self-hypnosis. A world-class hypnotist tells why it works and dispels some common myths.
People think they're going to be put under the spell of someone. You know, they're going to be made to do something they don't want to do. Like in the movie The Curse of the Jade Scorpion with Woody Allen, where he was activated by someone calling him on the phone and saying Madagascar, and then he had to rob a bank. So people think that kind of thing is going to happen. That's not true.
All that coming up today on The Success Journal.
The Success Journal. Inspiring success stories. Informative advice from leading experts. Helpful, practical tips to improve your life, enhance your career, and save you time and money. The Success Journal with Chris Whitting.
Hello, and welcome into our podcast. Does the idea of being hypnotized make you feel a little nervous? Does it make you think of a pocket watch swinging back and forth and somebody saying, "You are going deeper and deeper"? Well, I used to think that myself until I tried it, and I found self-hypnosis to be a great way to focus on goals I want to achieve. So on today's podcast, we're going to delve into this with a special guest. But first, what's the most influential word in the English language? Can you guess what it is? You. That is the most influential word in the English language, according to a Yale University study. And its power is twofold. It suggests empathy when you need the other person to feel you're taking them into account. And when you are the you, it puts your needs in the forefront. Aside from the word you, there are some other power words it's good to know. One is because. Because is a cause and effect word. It satisfies a craving that we all have for why something is the way it is. Another one is imagine. Throw that in when you want somebody to consider the possibilities rather than the facts. Instantly. Humans love instant results, and the word instantly does the trick. And our last power word is guarantee. And it's verbal reassurance, and we all like to have that. So I was thinking, is it possible to put all those power words into one statement? I came up with this. You can instantly imagine success because of our guarantee. If you use that line somewhere, let me know how it works for you. Here it is again. You can instantly imagine success because of our guarantee. Not a bad phrase to use in a sales pitch. When we look at people who are the best at what they do, we might assume they have natural-born talents. Or perhaps we think they just worked harder than anyone else to reach success. Well, our next guest says neither may be true. There's something else that might make the difference. And our guest has written a book about it called Talent is Overrated: What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. Let's welcome Jeff Colvin. Millions know you from radio and television, and I'd imagine in your career you've met lots of top performers in business and other fields. When you did your research for this book, were you surprised to find that talent wasn't that big a factor for success?
I was surprised. I carried around this idea that all of us carry around, which is that when you look at the great performers, the really incredibly world-class great performers, the only way to explain their performance is that they have some kind of magical one-in-a-million thing that they were born with and most of us were not born with. And what the research says is that's really not it. They studied great performers from all kinds of fields and found very little evidence that they had some special inborn natural thing that accounted for their performance. Rather, it was something else.
And this is even true, as you point out, for somebody like Mozart, who people consider a one in a billion type talent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, a lot of people, when they first hear the thesis of this book, respond immediately and say, Mozart obviously disproves what you're saying, because how could you possibly explain his incredible achievement except by some kind of, as you say, one in a billion inborn natural gift that he brought into this world with him? Well, the truth is, when you look closely at his story, it fits exactly with what the researchers say, which is that you get great through a particular kind of activity, which they call deliberate practice, and which is very specifically defined. Mozart was started by his father at the age of 3 and did more of this kind of activity than practically anybody you've ever heard of.
We're getting to this key that you're talking about, and let's get into that a little bit. So using Mozart as an example, other than starting early, what else happened there?
Well, starting early is a big help, but there's not much most of us can do about that. The key is what the researchers call by this name, deliberate practice, but that is something to be careful of, because what most of us do when we think we're practicing doesn't really qualify. I certainly realized that what I do when I'm out on the driving range at the golf course is a pathetic example of what deliberate practice is supposed to be, which accounts for the way I play golf. But it's very specific, really. It is activity that is designed to improve your performance in your particular field, designed specifically to push you just beyond what you can currently do, not way beyond, and not within what you can comfortably do right now, but to push you just beyond what you are currently able to do. It's an activity that can be repeated at high volume over and over, and an activity where you're going to get constant feedback on how it's going. If you can do that and do it for hours a day, for years on end, you will get much, much better. And if you do it for enough years with enough focus and intensity, you will become great. And that's the good news in all of this. You don't have to have that supposed natural, magical something. Achievement is available to you.
Our guest is Jeff Colvin, who is author of Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. And it appears it's this factor called deliberate practice. You're saying that it does take some years of this, so if you're over 50, are you out of luck in terms of being great at something?
Well, you're really not, and that's another great thing about this research, which is, on the whole, very liberating. It shows that much more is available to all of us than we tend to think. Even if you're over 50, well, look, if you're starting something new, you're probably not going to compete with the world's greatest. It may be too late for that. On the other hand, you can get much, much better at something than you probably ever thought. And furthermore, what the research found is that deliberate practice activities in a particular field actually defeat the effects of aging for a remarkably long time. And so people who suffer predictable age-related declines in their faculties or abilities in general in their life nonetheless don't suffer those declines in the particular area where they are practicing deliberate practice all the time. It's just remarkable.
Some of the others you cite in your book, I mean, you talk about a lot of people, but you mention Ben Franklin and even the comedian Chris Rock.
Yeah, you might not have thought they had a lot in common, but the truth is they really do. They both achieved what they did achieve through very similar activities. Chris Rock is a great example, actually. He worked on his new routine, which is the basis of his current comedy tour, by spending months in small clubs around the United States developing his material one sentence, one joke at a time. It's exactly deliberate practice. It was designed to push him beyond what he could currently do, because he was using material that was brand new. Some of it was not going to work. He could repeat it over and over. That's what he did, played night after night in these little clubs. And he got immediate feedback. The audience will always tell you what they think in his business with brutal honesty. So he did this over and over, and at the end of 9 or 10 months, he had 2 hours of super strong material. And that is the basis of his current tour, and this is arguably the most successful comedian in America.
We're talking on the Success Journal podcast with Jeff Colvin, author of Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. Have you heard about this free guide you can download that contains a list of top tools
to make your business more efficient, secure, and profitable? And best of all, this Ultimate Business Toolbox is now available to you absolutely free. How do you get it? Simply visit freebusinesstoolbox.com and grab your copy while they last. This guide has some of the very same online tools that we use every day in our business, and we recommend them. Yeah, and we do know that some sites will offer you a special deal on something, but then they stick you into some recurring program or some other deal. Well, this isn't like that. There's no hidden thing to try. BrightBiz is literally giving away this business toolbox completely free as a means of putting their best foot forward. But this is a limited time offer, so grab your free guide today and take your business and your income to the next level. Just visit freebusinesstoolbox.com to get your free guide to 36 business power tools. Jeff, it sounds like this formula for success does take some hard work, but there's quite a bit more to it than just that. Would you agree?
That's right. It's not just hard work, and that's a key message because, look, we're surrounded by people. All of us in our lives are surrounded by people who do work hard. They're good people, very conscientious. They've been working hard at whatever they do, sometimes for 20, 30, 40 years. And yet, to be honest, you know, they're probably not world-class performers. So it's something more than just plain old hard work, and it is following this specific prescription for what deliberate practice is. Always pushing just beyond what you can currently do, repeating it a lot and getting a lot of feedback. And if you do it, it will work. That's the great news.
Jeff, is it advisable to find someone to help you to do this, somebody who will push you?
Yeah, it really is. In fact, it's remarkable how many of the great performers have had teachers, coaches, mentors, somebody who can help. That person is important for a couple of reasons. One, they may know more about how people develop in your particular field, whether it's business or performing of some kind or athletics of some kind. They may know more about how people develop than you yourself know. They may be in a better position to design your deliberate practice activities than you yourself are. And crucially, they can give you the feedback when sometimes you can't really judge yourself all that well. There's a reason that the world's greatest golfers still have teachers.
It's interesting that some of the real greats, I mean, you mentioned Mozart, and in athletics, Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, it seemed like in all three cases, the father was a real important figure in pushing them.
Yeah, that's really true, in Tiger's case in particular. And of course, it's very well known that his father started him at a very early age, put a golf club in his hands at the age of 7 months. And actually, the researchers refer to Tiger Woods as the Mozart of golf because the stories are so remarkably similar. So when Tiger won the Masters at the age of 21, people thought it was incredible that anybody could win it at such an early age. And in a way it was. But remember, by that time, Tiger had had professional instruction in golf and had been going through intensive deliberate practice activities for 17 years. Much longer than anybody else he was competing against, and also he'd done it much more intensively. So in a way, it was no surprise at all.
We're talking with Jeff Colvin, who is senior editor-at-large with Fortune magazine and author of Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. Jeff, would these rules apply to an organization as well as to an individual?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And in fact, this is a huge opportunity for organizations. Because the fact is, most companies are terrible at applying these principles to developing the people in the company. And yet, this is the greatest opportunity most companies face. So human capital is what it's all about these days. And if companies can find a way to develop their people in their jobs, they hold tremendous potential advantage. And we can all do it. We can all apply these principles in our daily work. Companies need to understand that, need to teach people how to do it, and encourage them and reward them for doing it.
One of the things we often hear is that you've got to have passion for what you do or find a career that fills you with passion. How do you get that if you just don't feel it?
That's a great question because, after all, what I've described here is a program for becoming great that does characterize all the great performers that you see, but it is demanding. And so the question arises, why would anybody put themselves through this? If we're talking about years of intensive effort, always pushing yourself beyond what you can do, that is really, really tough. Why does anybody do it? And the answer is, well, they are somehow driven. They have a passion for it. They feel satisfied simply by going through these activities. And so people say, as you just said, well, what if I don't really feel that passion? The research shows that the passion, like the abilities themselves, develops with time. Not many people really come into this world, or even as little kids, are passionate about selling cars, or for that matter, playing chess, or any of the other things that you can get good at. But with time spent getting familiar with these activities and working on them, the passion develops, and typically a moment arrives, and the great performers are surprisingly clear about recalling this moment when it then at last hit them that this was what they really wanted to devote themselves to. Even the great ones didn't know it from the beginning.
Jeff, as we wrap this up, I'm just wondering, your book has so many stories that are quite inspiring and fascinating as you profile these different people. Is there just maybe one story you could just leave us with here?
You know, a good one was one that you mentioned just in passing, which is the story of Ben Franklin. Mm-hmm. Now, people don't think about him in this capacity at all. Ben Franklin made himself into a great writer, the preeminent man of letters in America in his era, and he did it precisely in accord with these principles of deliberate practice. He used articles that he really enjoyed to make himself better by studying how they were written. He invented some ingenious exercises to put himself through to develop his writing capabilities. And what's so inspiring is he did this not while he was a student, but while he was a young man working hard in his brother's printing shop. And he didn't have a whole lot of time, but he made time to do this, and he improved himself enormously to the point of world-class greatness. If he could do it in his circumstance, it's really inspiring to tell us that we all could do it.
The book is Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. Jeff Colvin is the author. Check out the website, which is talentisoverrated.com, and you can learn more.
Thank you very much.
We're glad you're with us on episode number one of the Success Journal podcast, and still to come, an interview you will find hypnotic. No surprise, our guest is a world-class hypnotist. But first, when you have a big decision to make, we always hear the common advice to sleep on it. Should you sleep on it? Will it make any difference? Well, here's the answer. Sleeping on it is really good advice. We often get the urge to make a big decision when we're unhappy or stressed, and that's when even the smartest people are more likely to make a bad choice. David Welch is the author of Decisions, Decisions, and he researched this, and he says, if you don't have time to sleep on it, take at least a half hour. Go for a walk, meditate, or even have a beer. The idea is to give your unconscious mind a chance to have its say. And we're much more likely to make a good decision when we remove ourselves from the situation, focus on something else, and then revisit it 30 minutes later. And if your next big decision is which company to use for website hosting, well, let me tell you about the company we use here at the Success Journal, Pear Networks. Pear Networks hosts hundreds of thousands of websites, and maybe you haven't heard of them, but you may be wondering why we recommend them. And the answer is simply because they set the standard for excellence with a technical support staff that's really second to none. Their team will always respond fast, and they always give straight answers. And that's very important when you have a website that you're wanting to keep up 100% of the time. Pear Networks has top-of-the-line technology, and so they offer total reliability and even a money-back guarantee. So whether you're a professional web designer, a busy web marketer, or you're just getting a site online for the first time, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at pair.com. That's PAIR.com. Pair Networks. How much do you really know about hypnosis? There are some myths about it, but for some, a visit to a trained hypnotist can be very beneficial. Here to explain is Dr. Steve G. Jones, a longtime clinical hypnotherapist, president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists, and author of over 22 books. Dr. Steve, what are some of the biggest misunderstandings people have about hypnosis?
Well, Chris, first of all, people think they're going to be put under the spell of someone. You know, they're going to be made to do something they don't want to do. Like in the movie The Curse of the Jade Scorpion with Woody Allen, where he was activated by someone calling him on the phone and saying Madagascar, and then he had to rob his neighbor or rob a bank. So people think that kind of thing is going to happen. That's not true. They think they might go into a coma. They think in general they might just violate their morals, but none of those things are true.
What sort of problems can hypnotherapy solve for a patient?
Hypnotherapy is helpful for anything in which the mind is involved, the subconscious mind. So any habits that people have that they want to get rid of, or maybe good habits that they want to have that they don't have, we can install those.
Briefly, what happens in a hypnosis session? Do you swing a pocket watch back and forth? What exactly goes on?
No, that kind of stuff, that's done by a few of my friends in Las Vegas on the stage. But what I do is of a clinical nature. So I'm, instead of entertaining people, getting a laugh or what have you, I'm working on changing a behavior. Maybe they want to stop smoking or lose weight or overcome fear of flying or something like that. So I'm just telling them to close their eyes and relax and drift off. And then I take it from there and give them positive suggestions for change.
Are some people simply not able to be hypnotized?
A lot of people think that's the case, but that is not the case. In the literature, they call it susceptibility. I like to call it suggestibility. But everyone is suggestible. It's kind of like electrical conductivity. Every substance on the planet Earth will conduct electricity. Some do it very well, like metal. Some do it very poorly, like wood. But every substance conducts electricity. Same thing with hypnosis. Everyone is suggestible. Some people are very suggestible, like those people you see on stage in those stage hypnosis shows. Yes, those are real. Those people are that suggestible. And sometimes people aren't very suggestible. But we don't know that just by deciding whether we're suggestible or not. There is a test for that.
Tell us a little about self-hypnosis. Is it possible to put yourself in a hypnotic trance, and can this have good results?
You absolutely can. It does work, and it's very similar to regular hypnosis, except you are doing it to yourself. But the challenge is you might fall asleep. So if you figure in a normal situation, there'd be you, and there'd be a separate person who we'd call a hypnotherapist. Hypnotherapist would be hypnotizing you. In self-hypnosis, you're playing both roles. You're the patient and the hypnotherapist.
I would assume most people are walking around every day with some underlying fears and phobias and other negative thoughts in their heads. They may not even be aware of these things, which could be limiting their progress. Is this something that hypnosis can resolve?
Oh, absolutely. You have to want to change. I'm not saying that hypnosis itself, the procedure, is dependent on that so much. I'm saying a person's never even going to use hypnosis or go to a hypnotherapist if they don't want to change in the first place.
What would be an example of the sort of subconscious blockage that a trained hypnotherapist could deal with?
Well, it would be anything such as limiting beliefs, you know, limiting beliefs about money, limiting beliefs about weight. You know, people think they can lose a certain amount of weight and then not lose beyond that. Anything related to confidence, a lot of times creativity. I use hypnosis myself for creativity. It's really anything where the subconscious mind is involved, so that leaves it open to a wide variety of different applications and possibilities.
Are there any risks in being hypnotized? For example, could you get stuck in a hypnotic trance and not wake up?
No, that's one of the old ideas that people get in their minds that aren't true. So no, you will not get stuck in a trance. If you fall asleep, the stages of sleep and hypnosis are the same. So it's the same scale you're going down. So as you go down deeper into hypnosis, you're going down deeper into sleep, and that's fine. But the thing about sleep is if you fall asleep somewhere in a chair while you're being hypnotized or even just watching TV, you will wake up after you have slept the amount of time that you needed to sleep anyway. So you could fall asleep, but you'll wake up anyway.
Dr. Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and you can learn a lot more at his website, which is stevegjones.com. Dr. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's wrap things up today on the podcast with two 60-second success stories, and I love telling these. And the way this works is I'm not going to reveal the product or the brand name until the very end. So your challenge as you listen is to guess what or who I'm talking about before I get to the end and give you the answer. And I guarantee you, you have heard of these. So let's hear that success sound. It's one of life's common everyday problems, a messy public restroom. Most people just shrug their shoulders, but not a guy named George Clemens. Unlike millions of others, when George happened upon a restroom with paper towels strewn everywhere, he didn't just see a mess, he also saw opportunity to really clean up. Now, it helped that George was an inventor. He quickly patented his clever idea and began selling his new product like crazy. I'm sure you've used it. You see, George Clemens invented the electric hand dryer. The company he founded, World Dryer, still blows away the competition. Next time you see a messy problem, remember George. He saw it as a chance for millions, and he really cleaned up. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting. And we have one more 60-second story. How about that? So let's go with that right now. Years ago, if you went in a store and asked for glue, they'd hand you a no-name bottle of this stuff. And one of those boring brands was called Cascarez glue. But all that seemed to stick to it was dust and cobwebs because Cascarez glue was usually the last choice of shoppers. That is until a marketing genius got hold of it. The product was made by the Borden Company, and somebody wanted to put their mascot, Elsie the Cow, on the label. A very bad idea, said their expert. Customers might confuse our company's food products with glue. So instead, they decided Elsie needed a husband. And that's when Elmer the Cow was created. The name Elmer's Glue has really stuck around. Today, it's America's top-selling glue. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting, and we'll be back next time with more for you. But for now, that's the Success Journal. Thanks for listening.